Hello, and you're listening to Making Palmy Home with Lorna Johnson, and my guest today is Dr. Zulfika Butt. So welcome, Zulfika. How are you this morning?
I'm very good. Thank you, Lorna. How are you?
I am great. Thank you. I'm looking forward to talking to you. So as listeners will probably know, Zulfika and I work together on the City Council, and so we know each other quite well. But I'll be trying to find out a little bit of the background of how Zulfika came to New Zealand and some of his tips for new migrants and how they might be able to settle in Palmy more easily. So Zulfika, let's start by talking about what you're doing at the moment in Palmerston North. What's your day-to-day work and life like?
Right. I'm a first-term city councillor, as you know. So I spend quite a bit of time at the council and then with different communities. And I also have a small business in town where I have three staff. I used to have four, but now it is reduced to three. So they are helping me well. So I also spend on an average 2 to 3 hours every day at my business. And the rest of the time is council and council-related functions and events and these kind of things.
Yes, it's a bit of a joke, isn't it, that people say council is a part-time job? It certainly seems a lot more like full-time to me. Would you agree?
It's even more than full-time, yeah, I would say.
Absolutely. So how are you managing with the business? Have you had to get in extra staff to backfill your role in the business?
Not really. I have a very hard-working manager, and he looks after business very well. So whenever he needs me, he calls me. And when I'm in meetings, he's very intelligent. He sends me messages not to disturb the meeting, you know. So he is quite used to it. So he's managing very well.
Right. So just tell us a bit about the business. I mean, obviously, I know the business, but maybe listeners don't.
Yeah, it's a halal butchery plus a grocery store. We sell Indian, Pakistani and Middle Eastern groceries and plus a takeaway. So takeaways, you can say Indian, Pakistani, Middle Eastern flavor.
Yes, I'm a regular customer of the takeaway. I must say, it's good food. So you're a very busy person, and I know that you do a lot of extra voluntary stuff as well. You're often out of town, you know, on different missions to Christchurch and Auckland and various other places. So how are you able to juggle all of this?
I'm very lucky that I have a very close and very helping community, especially in this stage when you have school-going children. People often say that, oh, they have to pick up the kids and drop off the kids. So I don't have that problems. Whenever I have some work or some tour, I have a number of friends. I can call anyone and ask, can you please pick my son and drop him home? And they are very helpful and very happy to do that.
Oh, that's great that you've got to that.
So I can say that 50% of my workload, home workload, is shared by my friends, mm-hmm, and then 50% by my wife, and I'm doing nothing.
Perhaps we should get her in here to hear the other side. So you've got, obviously you're here with your wife, and how many children?
I have three boys.
Yeah.
The eldest one is into his third year at the Otago University. The middle one is second year at Massey University, and third one has just started at Palmerston North Intermediate Normal School.
Oh, okay. So they're very busy with their studies then.
Yes.
And probably the older ones are maybe a bit more independent now, not needing so much family support?
Yes, they are. They are. My eldest son is obviously in Dunedin. The middle one is working part-time, 2 days a week.
Right, yeah.
So I don't have to worry about his finances.
That's great, so, isn't it, when they start to get a bit more independent?
Yes,
yeah, absolutely. So you're in a very busy role, and as you've explained, you know, you've got a good supportive community and family around you. So let's just go back to when you came to Palmerston North, which was, I believe, about 20 years ago?
Yeah, a little more than 20 years now.
Wow.
So this July will be my 21st year completed, 21 years completed, yes.
Gosh, does it seem like a lifetime ago? How does it feel when you look back?
Sometimes it seems like, oh, it was ages ago. Sometimes it was just like a day before yesterday. So it depends what you are thinking about.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us how you came to Palmerston North in the first place. What brought you here?
Oh, it's a long story. I was working back home in the State Forest Department. And one
day, I'm just going to interrupt you there because some people may not know. Where is home?
From Pakistan.
Right.
So I was working in the State Forest Department in a very good position. So one day I saw an advertisement, and that was for a local NGO, a very elite kind of NGO, and they were offering a scholarship for international studies. And the condition was that you have to secure an admission at least at two international universities,
right?
So I thought about going abroad. Mm-hmm. So I spoke to my chief conservator, and he had some connection at Massey University with Dr. Ashraf Chaudhry. Dr. Ashraf Chaudhry was a professor at that time, and then he went to the parliament, and now he's a counselor in Auckland. So he contacted him, and then I contacted him and asked if I could get an admission because I have to apply for this scholarship. It was a local, not New Zealand scholarship. So he helped me, and I secured admission here in one of the universities in Norway, right? And then I applied for that scholarship. I couldn't get it. They said, no, we have, candidates which were more suitable than you.
Oh.
So anyway, because I was in contact with Dr. Ashraf Chaudhry and Massey University, mm-hmm. and the very friendly and helpful staff at the International Student Support at Massey University, so I kept on writing them, oh, please consider my application again. And then somebody told me there is a scholarship at Massey University or New Zealand. At that time, it was called ODA, Official Development Assistance. Now, probably they call it NZ8. So I kept on writing them. Every 6 months, I would send a new email and new application. And after trying four times, I was lucky. And I got a scholarship from ODA, New Zealand government. And it was a one-year scholarship for a postgraduate diploma. Oh. So I came to New Zealand, completed my diploma, went back, and then I...
So at that stage, you came on your own, did you? Did you already have a family?
Yeah, newly married at that time.
Right.
Yes.
So did you leave Asifa, your wife,
yes,
behind?
Yes, yes. Yeah? I left my wife, Asifa, because the people at Massey, they recommended that I should come alone.
Right.
And at that time, probably same criteria applies now. They encourage students who are doing one-year studies to come alone.
Right.
And all the postgraduate students and PhD scholars, they are asked to bring their families. Even they are asked to bring their families after 1 year. After settling
down.
So
1 year is the kind of cutoff, isn't it?
Yes, that's
right.
Okay. So I completed my postgraduate diploma, went back home, and then I applied for the permanent residence. And I was a little bit unfit in my job back home that time when I completed diploma and went there. Anyway, luckily, I got my permanent residence, and I thought I should go back and do my PhD because it was a long, long time dream. So I think after 5 or 6 months of break, I came to New Zealand again, started my PhD, spent about 13, 14 months, and I was doing it on my own. It was not a scholarship anyway.
So you were funding yourself?
Yes, yes,
yeah.
For a PhD. So after spending 13 months, somehow my supervisor was like vanished.
Hmm.
Yeah, he used to work at Horizons, and he was a German engineer. I won't take the name because privacy. So one day somebody told me that your supervisor is gone. I said, what do you mean? They said, he's no more working at Horizons. I went to Horizons. I still remember. I went to Horizons reception, asked Mr. such and such. They said, oh, no, he's not here anymore. So I said, where he has gone? They said, we can't tell you. It's a privacy matter.
Oh.
Really? Yes. And my 13 months were gone in the drain.
No.
Yes. And then I received a scholarship from Ag Research. And it was a 3-year scholarship. We started literature review, visiting the area with my supervisors. And after 6 months, I received an email that probably government hasn't approved funding in that project and AgriSearch hasn't got any more money to pay my scholarship. So bye-bye.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Not another time.
So, yes.
Yeah.
So almost 2 years were lost.
And all this time, were you here on your own?
Yes, I was here.
And how were family managing back in Pakistan?
Oh, family, because we live in a joint family system, so there was no problems with my wife. And at that time, I mean, after I completed my diploma, by that time we had our first child. And family was still in Sialkot. But when I came next time, second time, I brought my family, my young son, and I mean, first son and my wife with me. So anyway, after trying those two projects, I attended a seminar. And I still remember probably that lady was from Australia, and she was presenting a seminar on how to find a topic for a PhD. And that was her PhD topic.
Oh.
Yes. And if I remember correctly, that lady told us that she was on a British Council scholarship, and she has been struggling for a whole year to find a topic. And then he decided, why shouldn't I do this topic? And she did a PhD on how to find a topic for a PhD, right?
Okay.
So anyway, I was lucky enough to find another supervisor at Massey University. And then I started my real third PhD, which I somehow completed in 2010.
Wow, that's a fantastic story of persistence and determination there.
Yeah, yeah.
Good Lord. And so when you finally managed to, tie a supervisor down and get your PhD finished, what was your area of study?
Its broad area was environment.
Yeah.
And my thesis was on a greenhouse gas inventory of Massey campus and all the agricultural farms. So I did a complete PhD on the lines of IPCC. So at that time, that was the first institutional level inventory, a complete inventory, when I completed it.
And what year was that?
And it was 2010.
Right. Yes. Okay. Well, well done.
Thank you.
I'm very impressed at the stickability there, because I think a lot of people would have given up a lot sooner, maybe at the first hurdle, but you kept at it. So that's fantastic. Okay, well, look, at this stage, we will take a little musical break, and we'll play your music that you've brought in for us, and then we'll come back and talk some more.
All right. Thank you.
अज़ल में लिखा है
हम भी देखेंगे
हम भी देखेंगे
जब ज़ुल्मों सितम के कोहे गरा
रूई के तरह उड़ जाएंगे
हम देखेंगे
हम महकूमों के पांव तले
ये धरती धड़ धड़ धड़केगी
और अहले हकम के सर ऊपर
जब बिजली कर कर धड़केगी
हम देखेंगे हम देखेंगे
बस नाम रहेगा अल्लाह का
जो गायब भी है हाजिर भी
जो मंजर भी है नाजिर भी
उठेगा अनल हक का नारा
उठेगा अनल हक का नारा
जो मैं भी
तुम भी हो हम देखेंगे
हम देखेंगे
हम देखेंगे
हम देखेंगे
हम देखेंगे
Awesome. So we're back with my guest this week on Making Palmy Home, Dr. Zulfikar Bhutt. And we've been hearing about the tremendous effort that went into getting his PhD. So Zulfikar, just talk us through then, once you had your PhD, your search for work and how that went for you.
Yes, actually, before I completed my PhD, even submitted my thesis, I was offered a small job by the College of Sciences, and it was a student support kind of job, because at that time there was a big scholarship program by the Pakistani government, and many Pakistani scholars are coming to do their PhDs, and they asked me to help in settling them and helping them securing, registering for papers and these kind of things.
Yeah.
So I accepted that job. So that was a 2 days job, and I did it for a year. And meanwhile, I was also working on my thesis, and I submitted during that job, I submitted my thesis as well. But after 1 year, because it was a 1 year contract, my job was finished. And when I still remember when they offered me what you call farewell tea. So I thanked the manager that, oh, thank you, because I think I was doing the things which I shouldn't have been paid, because I was doing those anyway. I mean, before getting that job, I was doing for the community and the friend, many
yes,
of the friends.
Yeah.
And they noticed it. And after 2 months, they offered me a one-day job.
So you talked yourself out of the job
yes.
there.
So anyway, I took one-day job, but somehow that was extended to 3 days a week. So, and I was enjoying my job in international relations, contacting different embassies, different governments, working with different students. And by that time, I was working with Kuwaiti, Saudi, Qatari, all Malaysian, all those students. So I somewhat forgot about my science background.
Yes, yeah, because you had sort of gone off onto yes. a different track.
I did apply for, and between you and me, I was offered a postdoc from Australia, La Trobe University, and that was soon after I completed my PhD, and I didn't go. I said, no, I want something to do in Palmerston North.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
I didn't tell anybody at that time.
Oh, I mean, so, it's good for us. I don't know if it was the best career move for you necessarily, but I mean, you were feeling, so by that stage, you're already feeling settled here?
Yes,
and wanting
yes.
to stay.
I was yeah. very much, especially my family, they were settled here. They didn't want to, even they didn't want to go to Auckland or Wellington because it was too busy in Auckland and Wellington. So
they were so well settled here
yes,
by that
yes,
stage.
Yes, every facility, your hospital, airport, university is 5 to 10 minutes drive. So whatever, what else you need?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So I was working with the international relations, and then a friend of mine, he said, because I also have a degree in geology, applied geology. So a friend of mine was working in a very good American oil exploration company. So somehow he arranged an interview for me. So I took the interview. They offered me a job again in Australia. They sent me the contract, and I made a kind of excuse that at this time I'm too busy with my family matters, though I can't take it. So I didn't take that job as well, because I was wanting something in Palmerston North. And so I kept on doing, and as I told you that when I told my manager that I was happy to do that job without
for
any
free.
Pay, so they offered me 1 day job and then 3 days. So I kept on doing 3 days. They didn't give me full-time job,
yeah.
although they were hiring more people in the same kind of jobs full-time,
yeah.
but they said he's good enough for 3 days.
Because so. they probably thought you were doing full-time anyway.
Yes. So, and the students, and they knew where I live. Sometimes
yeah.
they would knock on my door at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. Yes, that's true. So I didn't mind it. I was enjoying my work. And about 2 years ago, not 2 years, I would say 4 years ago, somebody suggested me to stand for the council. I did that, lost first time. And then about 2 years ago, I resigned from my job and stood for the council again. And luckily I got into the council and here I am working with you and many other good people.
That's great. That's a fantastic story. I do think that there's a theme coming through here of you're very clear about what you want and mm-hmm. you persist until you're successful in it. And I know lots of us, myself included, you know, we weren't elected to council the first time we stood. There's often a little bit of people getting to know you, that kind of element. So, oh, that's great. That's a great story about the students. So, in terms of how you're finding council now, has your life changed much compared to, say, when you first came to Palmerston North as a student?
It is changed. I mean, number one, I mean, on a lighter side, I'm getting paid for the work I'm doing now.
Yes, finally. Yeah.
Anyway. So it's a little bit more busier than before.
Right.
Yeah. And because I'm also looking after the business and that. So it is changed. And if you ask me family-wise, it has become a little bit expensive now.
Yes, they get more expensive as they get older, don't
so
they?
So I still remember when I rented first home, it was $135 for a two-bedroom home, right?
If only you could get that now.
And now I'm paying around $500. It's $480, but next week I've been told it will be $500.
Oh, no.
And even then, my friends have told me that if you leave this home today and ask them to re-rent it, it will be at least $600. So I thank them for being a polite or light with me. So it has become a little bit. Yeah.
I think you're right. The cost of living, especially accommodation, has really gone up lately.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look back on, you know, your nearly 21 years here, what do you think helped you to be successful? And what advice would you give to other migrants, people that are fairly new in that journey?
I think there are a few factors. Number one, your own close community. Yeah. I was very lucky when I came here. Although there was not a big Pakistani community at that time, there were hardly six or seven families, and those families were like a single family. Right. They were very supportive. They would tell you what to do, how can you survive, how can you go through different things. And there are certain organizations in the town which help you, apart from the government organizations, all right? So like it used to be called Ethnic Council, the Multicultural Council. They were very helpful, and whenever you find anything hard or difficult, you contact those friends and they will help you. So I would say the support from those organizations and community helped me surviving and realizing that this is the best town and city to live.
During
my PhD, I went to a few conferences in big cities. I went to Canada. I went to Sydney. So it was too busy for me. So I didn't want to go there.
Well, so, and I mean, you turned down the offers, didn't you? So you must really like Palmerston North.
Yeah.
So what are you doing, if you get any spare time? How do you like to spend your spare time?
I hardly find spare time,
imagine.
When I enjoy my cricket, watching sports, then...
Yes, right, the cricket.
And sometimes I do watch the TV shows, talk shows, not the political shows.
No, we get enough of that on the day-to-day,
yes,
don't we?
Yeah, so I enjoy my cricket. I mean, whatever.
So do you play
kind
cricket?
Or I play only social cricket.
Yeah.
And actually, we are going to play a tournament this Sunday in Wellington. So there are two teams from Palmy and one from Christchurch and probably three from Wellington. So we are doing it on lines of the Pakistan Premier League.
Oh.
Yes. PSL, Pakistan Super League. Yes.
Yeah.
So we have selected six.
So that's limited overs, is it?
Yeah, limited. Yeah. It's only a tape ball limited overs tournament to be finished in one day. And we are trying to finish it before the Bangladesh and Black Caps start at the stadium. So it's on the same day.
And on the same ground, is it?
Not on the same ground.
No, okay.
We can't enter that ground.
I would have been surprised. but because you want to watch the match.
Yeah.
Okay. And so who's the hot favourite then to win your community tournament, who do you think is likely to win?
Last time we won it.
Oh, you won
yes,
it?
Yes, the Palmy, yeah,
oh,
Palmy team
oh,
won
fantastic.
It. And we don't know the Christchurch team yet.
Yeah.
So not sure, but we'll try our best.
That's brilliant. So, look, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. And even though I've known you for a long time, I've learned lots of new things about you, and I'm sure listeners have found it interesting. And really, I note that the themes of persistence coming through, and I think, you know, that's good advice for any new migrant, isn't it, to just be persistent, even if you're not successful mm-hmm. at first, just to keep going. So that's great. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So, listeners, you've been here with me, Lorna Johnson, on Making Palmy Home, and we've been talking to Dr. Zulfika Butt, a current City Councillor of Palmerston North and owner of a small business, about his journey and how much he's really enjoyed living in Palmy, so much so that he's turned down any number of offers to go somewhere else. So that's been brilliant, Zulfika. We've enjoyed our time with you, and thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. So you can catch Making Palmy Home at 3:30 on Wednesdays, the repeats on Sunday at 1, or you can catch it on npr.nz/show/Making Palmy Home, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.